Right. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Nope. Trillville Thursday.
Trill. See, I mean, it's throwing me off.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. How'd that? Well, I guess I didn't work Monday, so that maybe.
That could be you. I don't know what my damn excuse is.
I don't know what it was. Well, Oren said yesterday, Happy Tuesday, and I was like, no, it's Wednesday. Anyway, it's a Trillville Thursday, hour number two of the show. We're happy to be here. Lots to get to. We'll get into an NFL no huddle in a few minutes from now. I'm going to talk about some of these college football championship games coming up on Saturday and one on Friday night as well. We'll get into our favorite or number one matchups, one-on-one matchups we're looking most forward to in the SEC championship game coming up on Saturday afternoon as well at 11:20. And then the Windy Zone coming up at 11:40 as well.
Fame! Oh, yeah. Okay. And by the way, it was Tony Schiavone. I should have known that's AEW wrestling.
AEW.
Yeah. And they had a show up here. And I know Tony. Listen, you couldn't invite me out, Tony? I would have probably came, too, just because he invited me. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Easy to say now.
Yeah.
In hindsight, since it's happened. Where were they? Had a show in Lilburn?
Yeah, they had one up here. The gas thing up here. The gas arena right up here by the Sugarloaf Malls and all that. Sugarloaf, whatever that damn thing up there is.
Well, maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe. Because it's right around the corner, man. Not too far.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, we got to the bottom of that one.
I'm like, have you ever been to a live wrestling show, Andy?
Nope.
You never been to one? Okay. No, they're pretty fun, actually.
I'm sure they are.
When you're actually there, they're pretty fun.
Yeah.
Just like when I took me and Samson went to the monster truck thing. Like, I went one a long time ago
awesome.
When I was a kid. That was so much fun.
Awesome
I was like,
impression.
That was so much cool.
Yeah, like, I can't think of too many things, like, live. And, you know, those are sporting events, entertainment, whatever, in however you want to define it. I can't think of too many live events like that I've been to that weren't fun. Like, I went to a rodeo one time. It was incredible.
I've been to a rodeo. It was cool as hell.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, I'm going to a rodeo, huh? Oh, wow. Yeah. Now I want to go back. Okay, I'm going to another rodeo.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a sport that I've never been to in person that I would like to go to.
Hockey's incredible in person.
I love hockey in person. Tennis is fun in person.
Yeah. Golf is more fun in person. That's how I got my
golf was cool.
That's how I got my wife interested in going to golf events. She actually went and liked it.
I've never been to a curling match.
Okay, but I bet it's great.
I bet it's great, though.
Sure, it's great.
I bet it's great.
They sell beers there?
That's all that matters. You know, that's my thing.
Start heckling one of the other curlers?
You can't heckle curlers, dog.
Why not?
Because, man, it's curling.
You can heckle anything.
You can.
If it's happening, you can heckle it.
Yeah, I guess you can.
That's my mentality. All right, let's talk about some of these college football championship games. Now, there's only, how many? One, two, three, four that have college football playoff implications. Hopefully Lincoln Riley and maybe some other teams in the Pac-12 can bring the Pac-12 championship game some sort of relevancy in terms of the college football playoff going. It's been since 2016 that the winner of the Pac-12 championship game actually even had a chance to go to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Going on 5 years that game doesn't even matter in terms of championships. But
the Rose Bowl's on the line.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl's on the line, which is a big deal. Like, don't get me wrong, that's a big deal. But in terms of national championships, it hasn't been anything at stake for a while. And it won't be tomorrow when Oregon plays Utah. Oregon got smacked by Utah last time they played. And I'll be honest with you, Randy, I'm hopeful that that happens again tomorrow night.
Well, of course you are. Of course you are. And you remember I was saying that whoever won that game was going to whoever lost that game was going to win the Pac-12 championship.
Right.
I think Oregon's going to win.
I could see that.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to win this game. But, yeah, I mean, the Rose Bowl is a big deal right there. And I think Oregon is too far out as far as in the ranking right now to jump all the way up to four if they win. So I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think that there are some two-loss teams that, given the right amount of chaos on Saturday, could get back into the conversation. And that chaos could start in the Big 12 championship game at noon when Baylor takes on Oklahoma State. We were talking about this before the show, and you said this, and I'm totally on board with you. I don't know why. I do think Oklahoma State is the better team.
Yep.
Something gives me the inclination that Baylor's going to beat them in this game.
It just seems like it's one of those situations where you feel yourself a little bit. But, I mean, Oklahoma State did the same thing that that Michigan did, the same thing that Georgia's trying to do.
Yep.
They got the big win. They finally got that big win and everything. And when you look at Oklahoma State and that defense, man, they are just relentless and they get after you. They're good enough on offense with Sanders and Warren's a really good runner. And so, I mean, Baylor can run the hell out of the ball too. Smith's a really good back also. So, I mean, this is going to be a physical football game that Baylor has a just as good – I'm not going to, because I'll do my picks on, hold on, wait a minute, this is a noon game, so I ain't going to have time to do my pick on.
Oh, you can give us a pick now.
Yeah, I think, I'm going to go with the Pokes, man.
Okay.
I think the Pokes might have an opportunity just to pull this one off and get in there, and then that'll be the whole scenario between, do they jump over? Because I think, you know, when Georgia beats Alabama, Alabama's out, then all of a sudden that gives you an avenue for the Pokes to be in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, if Georgia beats Alabama on Saturday, which we both think is going to happen, then I think, yeah, that does put Oklahoma into the college football playoff. Especially helps if something else crazy happens. You've got the AAC championship game. Now, Houston is ranked. They only have one loss. Cincinnati is favored, obviously, in this game by 10.5 points. But Cincinnati's got to do what they've been doing since they won that Notre Dame game, which is just keep winning. Just keep winning football games. They won the difficult game that was on their schedule early October. They've been a couple tight ones since then. A lot of them they've won by quite a few points, though. If Cincinnati wins, they're in. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, if Cincinnati's in, they win. Ritter, we know he's big. He's a big-time quarterback and everything. Hell of a defensive staff and everything. And Houston got some playmakers over there, you know, led by Tune, their quarterback. They can score points and all those things. I think this is going to be a back-and-forth game, Andy. I think Houston's going to be able to move the ball against this Cincinnati defense. My thing with Cincinnati is Cincinnati does a good job of not letting you score. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot like how Georgia, you might be able to move the ball, but it's about putting the ball in the end zone where you get the advantage on them. But, yeah, Cincinnati will win this game.
Is there a scenario in which Cincinnati wins the game and doesn't get into the college football playoff?
No. I don't think so.
If Bama beats Georgia, they both get in, right? If Michigan beats Iowa,
Michigan's
they're in.
Yep.
And then say Oklahoma State takes Baylor to the woodshed.
I still don't think you're going to move over. I still don't.
You don't think so?
I still don't. Now, would I be surprised if all that happened you just said, and then coming on noon on Sunday, hungover from celebrating Georgia's win?
If Georgia wins, then that won't happen.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be depressed if Georgia loses. Uh-huh. But, I mean, just thinking about that, I still don't think they put the Pokes in over.
Okay.
I still don't think
they
okay.
I mean, they're at
do.
4, and if they win the game, you should stay at 4, right?
We've right. Seen, I mean, what do you – what
we've
what
seen
justif-
crazier
justify,
things happen.
Because then they go, okay, then you got to look at where do the teams ranking. So they'll probably – if Michigan wins, they'll probably maybe move – no, they'll put Bama 1, they'll put Michigan 2, Georgia 3, Cincinnati 4. So you don't have that first
– right, so you don't have a rematch immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and then you got Michigan versus Iowa in the Big Ten Championship. That's the evening game, 8 o'clock on Fox. Look, Michigan did the thing that nobody thought they could do last week in beating Ohio State. Is there a hangover associated with that?
I hope.
That was the thing. Like, that was the thing they haven't been able to do for years and years, and they finally did it. They finished the drill, though. Beat Iowa and go to the playoff.
That's the thing about it is, like, you know, don't let that be that. You know, it's so much excitement up there in Ann Arbor right now, as it should be, because they're in a position to play for a national championship, period. And now they got this Iowa team who shouldn't be in if Wisconsin don't trick off the game last week. You know, but Iowa just has one. They're just a hard-nosed, blue-collar type football team, Andy. They at the beginning of the year, and that kind of settled down a lot. You remember how they had like 13 turnovers in the first three games? They were just getting all the turnovers and everything.
Iowa had 3 pick sixes week one.
Yeah, they were just unbelievable and everything. Michigan take care of business. They'll beat them. They stick to the run. I mean, they could run the ball. Michigan could run the ball on anybody in America. That's what they do. But, I mean, McNamara can't blow it. Like, that first pick he threw in the end zone against Ohio State, you're like, here this dude.
Don't do that.
Here this dude go.
Yeah, take it out of his hands.
Yeah.
Would be what I would do.
But see, I was going to put it in his hands to make a couple
plays. They're going to try to, yeah. I mean, get Haskins the ball as much as you possibly can. That dude was unbelievable against Ohio State. Plus, man, we haven't spent much time talking about that this week just because of everything that's going on. But that dude, Aiden Hutchinson, is outrageous.
Andy, I said this on College Ball Game Time. I said this. I kept saying. I said, you want to talk about a dude who's a hellraiser who shows up all the time. Andy.
Yes.
He don't show up here and there. No, he shows up in every game they play. Mm-hmm. That dude, he is unreal.
Yep.
And I know you say Falcons take a look. He might not be there when the Falcons pick.
I don't think he will be.
Because that dude is like. I mean, he always shows up.
He looks to me like a top 5 pick. In the NFL.
Draft. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, say they're.
Yeah.
Yeah, Falcons aren't going to have a top 5 pick, I don't think, the way that it's going right now. All right, we'll get back into the SEC championship game coming up in 15 minutes from right now, which one-on-one matchups we're most looking forward to. Before we do that, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Zach!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep warm. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision Furnace tune-up. Another way they make you smile. What?
Brian's so right. Of course, there will be a whole bunch of top 10 rushes this year when the Falcons probably won't get in the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Last year, you got the number 4 pick, and there's no edge rushers to be found, although Micah Parsons is pretty damn good.
Dude, he's so damn good, man. This young man, look for him tonight. I know with the NFL, look for him to have a couple sacks tonight. Saints are without both tackles and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Oh, Micah Parsons is going to eat tonight.
Yeah, Micah Parsons might totally wreck the football game tonight.
Yes, he's going to eat tonight.
And that is the news of the day, is that Alvin Kamara is officially out for the football game tonight between the Cowboys and the Saints. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, by the way. Pre-game at 8, kickoff at 8:20 between the Cowboys and the Saints. Let's hear from Arthur Smith talking about who's going to play against Tampa Bay on Sunday.
If we feel that there's a better potential matchup, then we feel like we can have a chance to contain them or block them, then we'll go with that. But these guys, the one thing about them being a divisional opponent, there's a lot of familiarity on both sides of the ball. It's a really good football team. They got good players across the board, and our guys, they'll be ready to roll Sunday at 1, ready for the challenge.
Yeah, the one guy they wouldn't have any familiarity with, not that that gives you a huge advantage, but what he's talking about there is the rotation at center and the fact that Drew Dahlman got on the field last week. Looked all right. Offensive line probably had their best day in terms of run blocking last week. Cordell Patterson being back had a lot to do with that as well.
Right.
But you'll see Drew Dahlman on Sunday, too. You didn't just do that for one game. That's an open competition now between him and Hennessy.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. That is a rotation that's going to play itself out throughout the year. I don't know how Smitty breaks it down, who plays and how many plays or when. I don't think they do it per series, and they might do it quarter, half. I don't know. But, this is going to be something because Dahlman's a draft pick. Of course, they want their draft picks to be in and everything. But the Falcons, I don't want to say got to play a perfect game, but damn near got to win on Sunday.
Yeah, they did a nice job against that Jacksonville front. Vita Vea is a little
They're overmatched in this game. Yeah. As we were talking to Michael Lombardi, they made a nice comeback when they were down there in Tampa,
they
but
did.
Matt threw them damn interceptions and I just pretty much put the game out of hand right there. So that first and foremost, like any game you go into, you got to take care of the football. If you're the Falcons, you got to find a way to get some run game going and everything. Shaq Barrett. He's still he had maybe the biggest defensive play of the week last week.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's driving. He gets a forced fumble, sack fumble, and all those things that stops that momentum. JPP, still capable. No, he's dealing with that shoulder injury that, he had to switch to the other side so he doesn't use that arm as much as he would have to. But Vita Vea is the key to that run game. And can they move him? Because their linebackers are going to make plays.
Uh-huh.
Them two dudes, they make plays all over the field, and their secondary is getting better. Offensively, they got 12. They got 12.
Gronk's back.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown's not playing. He's out for 2 more weeks, so he won't be somebody you have to worry about on Sunday. But, yeah, man, the Bucs are good. That's why they won the Super Bowl last year. That's why the Falcons fought their way back into the game in Week 2 and ended up losing by 2 touchdowns or however many they lost. They lost by a bunch because they blew the game in the fourth quarter. Let's hear quickly from Aaron Rodgers. This is an interesting comment from him, man. Aaron Rodgers continues to just say stuff, and here he is sort of accusing Packers coaches of leaking injury information.
Again, with these reports, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know who's talking. It seems like there's certain coaches that may have friends in the media that they don't realize are actually just trying to report things on. But
guys on your own, on the Green Bay staff, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Age, you've known about that. There were guys for a while who had their people they would leak stuff to.
What the hell are you talking about? You said something's wrong with your foot.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
We've been told by you.
You
commented on it.
You said it.
You took your nasty sock off and put your foot on camera on the Pat McAfee show to talk about your toe.
Yeah, you said that.
Leaked it, Aaron.
Hey,
the peyote must be too good over there.
He's so great and everything as a football player, but he's getting on folks' damn nerves.
Yeah, meaning me.
Yeah, but the thing about it, his teammates love him. His teammates love him. That's all that matters.
Folks now? Or is he getting on your nerves?
I would never let Aaron Rodgers get on my nerves.
Okay.
Dude, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, A-Rod. Right. A-Ron. Got a birthday, winning team. Got a nice, got a new lady.
They're going to have a little drum circle over at the house.
You know that, though, with them tambourines.
Tambourines. And Incense candles.
Yeah, and throw pillows.
What kind of cake do you get when you're a weird Zen, like a vegan cake? Yeah,
a hummus cake.
You're gonna have a hummus date.
You gotta have a hummus cake with
raisins.
Like, yeah, something like that.
Hummus raisin cake. Happy birthday, Aaron. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the one-on-one matchups we're most looking forward to in the SEC championship game. And Randy's going to make us all say,
damn, Andy. Okay, we get it.
Well, it's up for a good team, man. Looking to try and tease it. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get back into most important audio in the world, top of the noon hour. Ben Watson going to stop by an hour from right now. Yeah, going to talk some SEC championship game with Ben Watson at 12:20. Going to talk some SEC championship game right now as well. The one-on-one matchups you're most looking forward to. We each have how many? How many do you have?
I got three.
I got three and a half. Okay, so we got plenty.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
I always go first.
Okay, so you go first. We'll go back and forth like we did yesterday.
Okay, the first one I think is self-explanatory. This offensive line, the Georgia tackles, whoever they are, against Will Anderson.
Okay.
I mean, because he is a game wrecker. But I got in parentheses, I got it in the quotations, don't let him get multiple sacks. He probably going to get one. Mm-hmm. He's that damn good of a player. Don't let him be the reason that we were talking about Aiden in the last game. He affected CJ all game.
Yes, he did.
He was just hounding him. Can't do that. And that's more, if it's more on the play calling, the formation designing, whatever. Don't let him break the game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is what do you try to do during the game to make an extra tight end to that side?
Georgia does a really good job with their tight ends as far as chipping, getting out in routes. They do such a great job with that. I expect a whole lot more of that. Where they shift the protection, or maybe not even shift the protection because they're probably going to end up sliding protection his side anyway. But more than anything, if whoever the back is, if he's on the right side, shift the back over to the left. You know what I mean? Wherever side he goes, you shift the back over there to that side.
You know, it's interesting. It's not something we spent a lot of time talking about this year just because Georgia's offense Georgia has blown teams out so badly that sometimes you just don't get into the minutiae of some of this. Which running back on Georgia's offense is the best pass blocker? Is it Zeus?
Probably.
It seems like it would be just because of the way he's built and kind of the way that he runs.
Probably.
Now, we spent a lot of time talking about that from a Falcons perspective because their offensive line is so bad. And if you didn't have Mike Davis back there blocking, then Matt Ryan would have been decapitated a few times this year. I don't really know who it is from a Georgia perspective.
But I think it's Zeus. I mean, but I've seen them all miss protection.
Okay.
I've sat there and watched. And now, a lot of times, it's one of those things how teams miss Georgia's linebacker. That's what happened to Georgia sometimes, like because the linebackers are slicing so tight off that double team or whatever, and you just see him at the last second. But yeah, I think maybe it's probably gonna be Zeus.
Okay, I'm gonna grab an obvious one, or at least one that I think is an obvious one, and certainly the one that is going to be talked about a lot leading up to this game on TV and all that stuff is the head coaching matchup. I think Saban and Kirby, and rightfully so, because it's not just sort of easy fodder to talk about the big name head coaches in a game like this. We've seen these guys play before. We've seen their teams play before. And we've seen decisions that they've made in these games make really big impacts on these games. Now, last year wasn't that. Like, last year was what Kirby was talking about earlier today, which is, players decide the outcomes of games for the most part. Like, Alabama was just better than Georgia was last year. Georgia had the lead at halftime. Alabama came out in the second half and ran them off the field.
Yep.
It was 41-24. They were just better. But the first two times they got together, it was some pretty big decisions that were made. Everybody remembers the Tua Tagovailoa decision. Obviously, Jalen Hurts was the decision the next year. Kirby made some decisions that didn't go his way. Like, when the talent is as equal as it feels like it is in this matchup, that's when coaching decisions really show up. That's when you get tight in the fourth quarter and you have to make a decision, whether you're going to go for it on fourth down or, fake a punt or something or whatever. Not to bring up a bad example. But I think that's vital. I mean, I just believe that this game is going to be close enough where a decision by one of these two guys in the second half of this football game is going to have a big impact on this game. And, from Georgia's perspective, for the sake of Georgia fans, hopefully this is one where you look at it afterwards and say, that's where Kirby changed. Like, Kirby was in that moment this time and he made the right call. Or he didn't go away from what was working. Or he didn't, whatever it is. Like, whatever the moment was in previous games like this where he's made choices that backfired, Hopefully this is the one, if it comes down to that, which I think that it will. Kirby shows how he's changed as a head coach.
All right. There it is. Stetson Bennett's arm versus Bryce Young's legs. Mm-hmm. And I think it is going to be vital for both teams. Stetson throwing the ball down the field and Georgia's defense not allowing Bryce Young to use his legs. Because the thing with Bryce Young is, and what I saw from him is, if you blitz him and you don't get to him, he's going to tear your ass up. He's that good of a quarterback to be that young, to know where to go with the ball, when to go with the ball. He is just that good at that. And, you know, Stetson, they've been a big play offense. They get chunk plays in the Georgia offense. And you can say if he throws the ball 11 times or whatever. Well, if he throws the ball 11 times versus Alabama, he's got to be 150 plus, I think. I don't think he can throw the ball 11 times versus Bama and be 75 yards. No. They've got to be able to make some big plays, whether it's run after the catch or whatever, whatever. Stetson can't get over 25 throws, but he can't be under 10 in order for Georgia to win his football game.
I also think just in terms of those two, I had them written down from a different perspective. Whichever quarterback turns the ball over less is very likely to lead their team to a victory in this game. Like, neither one of those guys turn the ball over very much. Stetson's thrown 5 interceptions this year. Bryce Young's thrown 4 interceptions this year. So that's both of those are pretty good in terms of being able to protect the football. Whichever guy does a better job in terms of protecting the football in this game is going to give us, obviously, going to give his team a better chance to win. I also wonder, just in terms of defending Bryce Young, like you're talking about trying to limit what he does with his legs. Like, if he's a guy that doesn't run that much historically, at least he hasn't this year, his highest rushing yards game was 42 against Tennessee. Do you practice spying against him? Or do you even have to do that because he doesn't run that much? Like, how do you go into this game not really knowing how much he's going to run the football?
I don't know. Because as we were talking yesterday, as far as the design run, I don't see them doing a lot of design runs. Now, in the red zone, Andy, could I see a quarterback draw when at least expected? Like, say it's third and goal or whatever, and they spread you out, and I could see that kind of quarterback run. But design runs in the field, I just don't see it. But what he does is, once he breaks contain, he keeps he waits so long before he takes off, but he's so effective winning because he's real slithery, faster than you think he is, got a little shake about him and everything, and then he does the best thing that you can do. He gets the hell down.
Right.
He gets the
hell
down.
But that's not really something – I'm just wondering about it from a Georgia defense perspective. Like, if that's how he does it and he doesn't – it's not designed, like, can you design your defense to stop it? He's just going to run on plays that break down, right?
Right. But those, I mean, they're no, because that those are backyard type plays,
right?
You know, you lose contain. You got to keep them corralled. I think Auburn did a great job of that. And the one thing that Georgia does as good as anybody in the country, they close. And when they close, for the most part, they get you down. They get you on the ground. Their closing speed when it's time to go after a quarterback. Oh, they're going, and they diving at feet, heels, or whatever they need to get you down.
Yeah, and that was my second one, because I know that there's going to be a lot of attention paid to the matchup between Jameson Williams, John Metchie, and the Georgia secondary because of what big playmakers those guys can be, especially Jameson Williams. He can go over the top. He's a huge game-breaking type wide receiver. Is Alabama even going to have enough time to make that type of throw? Maybe they'll be able to make a few throws like that. But I imagine they're probably going to try to get the ball out of Bryce Young's hands really quickly and into those guys' hands on the perimeter. That's why I think Darian Kendrick and Keely Ringo, as much as people will talk about them and their ability to not get beat over the top, they got to tackle great. I think those guys have to be and they are very good tacklers. That's something we've seen from the Georgia secondary. They're very good tacklers. But those two guys specifically, because of who they're going to be matched up against, the biggest playmakers that Alabama has on offense, they're going to have to get their man on the ground immediately, because I think Alabama's going to do a lot of that quick passing.
They are. They're going to get the ball out of there so they can negate the Georgia rush. We do know that and everything. And then it just comes to tackling in space. And a lot of times what that does, when the guys that you're talking about, Andy, they're going to be the guys on the outside. So, you know, they got to be able to fight off and then go make the tackle, because that's, you know, a situation where those plays, when those plays work, Andy, and I'm talking about those bubble screens and stuff like that, it's because of outside blocking on the perimeter. That's all it is. It's outside perimeter blocking and guys just getting upfield, and hopefully you make somebody miss, and then that's where you go, you know, go on and make the rest of those plays. But I agree with you. I had one of those as far as the matchup of of the cornerbacks and the receiver matchup for Georgia, because you know it's going to, they got the playmaker, they got superstar receiver Mitchie. We saw the big play he made. We know how big time Williams is. 61 catches, 1200 yards, has 20 yards a reception.
Yep.
So I mean, yeah, what can you say about that?
Good, tackle him or hit the quarterback before he has time to throw deep, you know, because those deep passes take time to set up.
All right, my last one, Andy, and I know I said this and I thought about it. Jack Podlesky versus Will Reager, the kickers.
You did make me say
it. Yeah, the kickers. The kickers. And here's why. In big games in the past, what has been Alabama's downfall? Kickers. It's been the field goal kicker.
Yeah, field goal
kicker. It's always been. They got a dude now, man. They got a dude. There are going to be some opportunities for 50-plus yard field goals in this game. Mm-hmm. I feel it. Probably on a first drive.
Yep.
There will be a chance for 50 yards or more. Which guy makes them?
Yep.
Because we're talking about points in field position, Andy. Points in field position. Because you miss, they get the ball right there, you know, with 40, 50 yards to go.
Yep.
You make it, you get your point. So that kicking matchup, because I think there's going to be at least three field goals both teams will attempt. And two of them will be, I'm going to say, 45-plus.
I totally agree. I think the defenses are so good in this game that your field goal kickers are going to have to show up. Now, you saw the Alabama kid make a pretty damn clutch field goal in overtime against Auburn last week. It was only like a 40-yarder, but still, I mean, that's clutch in overtime to send that game into the third overtime. Podlesny's been a little shaky at times this year. He's been better lately. Yeah, man. I also think punting, too. Like, you got the better punter in the game. I think field position is going to play a really big factor in this game. So special teams is going to be a huge part of it. I don't know who has the advantage in special teams. Both teams have pretty damn good special teams.
And both teams, if you love this, Williams, both teams have their starters on their special teams.
Yeah, they do. And Jamison Williams returns kickoffs, too. Yep. He had a game this year where he took two back for touchdowns. Yep. So a lot of talent on the field on Saturday. Those are some of the one-on-one matchups to be looking for. We'll come back. We'll get into the Wendy zone after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by the BetQL Network, available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Get sports betting tips from local talent and national experts. The BetQL Network, only on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Wendy!
What's going on, guys? Speaking of hungry, not average, did you guys see the latest Reese's Cup, like, invention or thing that they came out with?
What the hell are they doing
now? The pie? The big pie?
Not the big pie.
Oh. No, what are they doing now?
We mentioned the big pie during Thanksgiving, and that sold out, like, within minutes on the Reese's website. No, apparently there's one called the Reese's Potato Chips Big Cup. So you know the cups, the Reese's, just the regular Reese's peanut butter cups?
Yeah.
They put potato chips inside of that bad boy.
Huh.
So you get your salty and your sweet. Would you guys try that one?
Hell no.
Oh. I would. Why not, Randy?
Hold on.
Like a little salty and sweet.
I mean, I might give it a shot.
No.
It probably wouldn't be too bad.
I still don't understand people who do the Wendy's thing.
The fries and the frosty.
I just don't understand that. Are you serious?
Yeah, I do enjoy that.
It's real.
I know people love it. My wife does it. I was like, are you serious? It's a damn French fry. French fries, but we dip the ketchup.
I
like to dip my French fries in all kinds of stuff.
Are you a dipper?
Oh, I'm a big dipper.
I'm a big fry dipper.
Yeah, you put a sauce in front of me, there's a pretty decent chance I'm going to dip.
I'm not 100%. A dipper. I don't dip.
At home, I have a lot of dips in the refrigerator. If I'm making some French fries or tater tots, you best believe there's seven dips in front of me that I'm dipping each bad boy French fry in.
I'm with you.
And then you find one that you stick with.
I guess.
But I guess me and Andy are the only one that are trying this.
The thing that I feel badly about when I do that is you end up throwing a lot of dip away because you pour too much of one dip, and then it's like, well, now I got to throw all this ranch out because I decided to go with the honey mustard. But I'm with you. I do the same thing.
What you do is you just dab a little bit, and then you're going to
conundrum for me.
You're going to find which one you eventually like, and then that's when you go with like the big cup.
Oh, so you just dab.
You dab, and you figure out which one you're feeling at the moment.
And then and you then go, okay, that makes a lot of sense, Wendy.
I'm here for all your food tips, anything that you need to know. I've got you. You guys know how we were talking about the Will Smith and Jada Smith, you know, just talking too much about their business. Well, there was that petition. Well, I need some help understanding these petitions on, I think it's change.org. It's up to 10,966 signatures.
That's it.
It keeps refreshing.
Can we get a few more?
But Randy, I want to know what you think about this. So apparently, because I decided to sign my name on this petition, because we're all tired of hearing about Jada and Will Smith's, you know, life and what happens in it and the details that we don't need to know. Apparently, you can donate money when you sign the petition on change.org. And people are donating to this petition.
Why you donate money?
I don't
know. Oh, it's a scam.
What's the money going towards?
It's a scam.
No,
it's a scam.
Will and Jada need any money?
It's a legitimate website, but people are donating to the petition. Now, I'm just wondering why, because maybe I'll start a petition just to start a petition and just raise money. And just, I don't know. I don't know where it goes to.
You think that scamming people sounds like a fun activity, Wendy?
No.
That's why you got to wear, you got to, them scams, man. Hey, Andy, I don't mess with them scams. Like, I don't sign petitions.
None?
None.
Even if it's a cause you believe in?
If it's a cause I believe in, yes.
Oh, okay.
But if I don't, like, some people just sign petitions to get the people the hell out of their face.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't do that. No.
Man, they got me in front of CVS a couple weeks ago. I'm paying for some goat. Yeah, I don't know.
To eat?
Some village has a goat now because of me.
Man, please.
Maybe not.
Man, please. That goat curry right
Andy,
now.
I'm a sucker. Every time, like, the
they got me,
the
man.
Cashier's like, do you want to donate to such and such cause? I'm like,
oh, I know.
I can't say no to anyone's face. I'm like, yes.
Sure.
Like,
I do that
how
all
much
the time.
You want to donate?
Sure.
And then I don't want to seem cheap and give a dollar. So right. I'm like, here's $5.
Yeah, I mean, I do that all the time.
I don't know.
I do that every time. I go to Publix every Monday. Same Publix every Monday at same time, and the same lady at the same cashier asks for a dollar every day. Like, ma'am, I was just here last week. I just gave.
I know, but
I always give.
Don't
always
you
give.
Feel like such a jerk? That you're like, yes. I donated the last time.
I do,
and you don't want to say that.
Oh, so I don't say it. I just donated.
Yeah, exactly.
They sent me a picture of the goat.
Oh, what?
Oh, really? What's
like?
His name?
Oh, great question. I need to find out. Maybe I can name it.
You got by the goat people.
Oh, I did.
How much did the goat run you?
Don't worry.
How
about
the
that.
Hell did they come up to you and say buy a goat?
Well,
Andy?
They didn't come. They had pamphlets. They had their whole game.
Like, I'm a pamphlet taker. Walk away. I do not. You will never catch me.
They caught me on a good day too. It was like payday. I was feeling good. I was like, sure, I could buy a goat.
You
for
were
a
rich
village.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Like, what's a goat to me?
Hey, man. Ain't no,
what's a goat to a boss?
What's a goat to a boss? I mean, that's how you feel it. I will never sit there and read a pamphlet and act like I'm interested. I will grab it. I will never, ever not take a pamphlet. I'll grab one and keep walking.
I wish I could be like
can
that.
Can I explain it to you?
No. I'll read it.
Like these? Yeah. Can I? No, Andy sits there like, huh.
I just sit there like, please do.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Get the hell out.
Like, I ask them questions they're not even prepared for. That's a good question.
Where's the goat born at?
I'll ask my supervisor.
Yeah.
Just give us some money, man.
Yeah,
what are the goat's parents like?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a fine goat for the community? What's the temperament of said goat? But I was just looking at it, and people are donating like $15 and $11 each, but I don't know. I don't know. It goes to the petition. So Will and Jada Smith might get money out of their own petition, stopping them from talking, which is bizarre. So we know how Tom Brady has TB12. He's trademarked TB12, used it for his book and his diet programs, all of that stuff. He was also, obviously, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Well, the Patriots now have a new quarterback, Mac Jones, who's doing pretty well there up in New England. Well, he's decided to follow in Tom Brady's footsteps and trademarking MJ10.
Really? Huh. For what?
I don't know, Randy.
Well, somebody might want it.
Maybe he's going to follow in Tom Brady's
good for
footsteps
him.
Completely yeah. and use MJ10 for his new.
He got to wear hats now. He got to get stuff made. You just can't have it to let it sit. Well, you can't technically have it sit there, but you got to go and get your t-shirt. Like, would you buy MJ10 hat?
Nope.
Oh, so
I ain't think so.
I wouldn't buy a TB12 hat either.
Hell no, I'm buying a TB12 hat. No.
So records showed Mac Jones has trademarked Mac 10 Enterprises.
Wait.
It was officially filed for the phrase on November 26th with the intent to use it for all things clothes. So from beanies to hats to pants to athletic jackets, shorts, shirts, sweaters, and more. Would you have something that said Mac 10 Enterprises on it, Randy?
Hell no.
Well, okay. There's already been Mac 10s, though.
They got a Mac 10.
There was a rapper named Mac 10.
Nate McMillan's nickname was Mac 10.
His stage name is Mac 10, so this is Mick 10. It can't be Mac. It's Mick.
Mick 10.
I mean,
it's actually Scottish.
Mick 10.
Mick 10.
Yeah, ain't Mac 10. It's Mick 10.
Now, the thing is MJ10 going to take off like TB12?
Well, it's the MJ, so it's MJ10.
Is he going to create his own diet?
I don't
so
know.
So far,
man.
No. It's just
well,
because
going by his body.
I don't know if you
right
want to be on the.
I want.
That probably brings us back to that Reese's peanut butter cup with
exactly.
Potato chips in it. That's on the Mac 10 diet.
Oh, what if Mac Jones did the opposite and he went like just like good, food, like good, like food that
it's
you want?
Actually, a pretty good idea.
You know what I mean? And just did the complete opposite of what Tom Brady does.
That's like, actually a pretty good
that's
idea.
Pretty good idea. You have done, dog, endorsing Nutty Buddies and stuff.
That
I'll
would
do it.
Be. Wouldn't that be great?
Everything Tom won't eat. Mac Jones.
Yes, will. Yes. I
well,
love
that should
it.
Be like the header, like right under the MJ.
You know, there's nothing like there's nothing worse than that person, dog. Like I look at like try to keep track of my calorie intake. I do try that, but the person who asks people. Like when you at a restaurant or something, and they do a good job now putting the calorie tape.
Which
before
is awful.
But before then, they'd be like, yes.
That's the worst.
Could you
thing
tell
that's
me how happened. Much ingestible sugars in this salad?
Randy.
What the hell are you talking about?
Randy, you know the worst thing that they've done at restaurants is add the calories?
No. That's the best.
No, because then all you want to do is go in there and indulge. And you know what you're eating. I don't need to see it printed. I don't want to know that I'm having 1,200
But the thing about it is that you don't have
cheese.
To look. Don't
yes,
look.
You do,
no, you
it's
don't.
Right
you do not have to
item.
Look. You
it's
do
right.
not have to look. All you got to do is say, I want me a damn sundae with ice cream on it.
Don't
look at the calorie intake, Wendy. Just eat your damn sundae.
Hi, do you have the menu without the calorie count? Because I would like to look at that menu.
Yeah, whatever.
Give me the QR codes all
have
day.
Have you ever not gotten something because of the number? Me too.
And it's awful.
Have I ever what?
Not gotten an item because of the calorie number.
Hell
next
no.
Week.
Yes.
Please. It's if I want it, because again,
I used to love that.
If thing. I want to eat it, I eat it. But if I don't want to eat it because of the calories, there ain't got no business in there. I'm just saying.
Look, you just don't want to see it. You know it's there. You don't want to see it.
I just, you know, lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
You want to think someone's 500 calories, not 2,000. You're
it's
like,
lower
oh.
fat because it's at a restaurant.
Dude, you got to make yourself believe in it, man.
Exactly. Exactly right. All right, thanks, Wendy.
Less sodium here. You got it, guys.
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world. Ben Watson going to join us in half an hour from right now. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.